Literary star Colson Whitehead won the 2016 National Book Award last night. It was a somber ceremony sprinkled with dark humor as many of the authors bemoaned the results of the presidential election. Whitehead himself insisted that art was a path toward unity and justice in America. Whitehead's winning novel, The Underground Railroad, depicts a magical railroad departing from literal history to draw vivid portraits of slaves, abolitionists, and white slave owners. In this reading, with some very strong language, a white slave owner is telling the story of a dead slave named Michael, who was taught to recite the Declaration of Independence.
Michael had been the son of his master's coachman, had a brand of animal cleverness, the kind you see in pigs sometimes. The master and his unlikely pupil started with simple rhymes and short passages from popular British versifiers. They went slow over the words the nigger didn't understand, and if truth be told, the master only half understood. But they made miracles, the tobacco farmer and the coachman's son. The Declaration of Independence was their masterpiece.
As artists like Whitehead take the lead in the re-exploration of America's racial history, they embrace different points of view, pushing the question of who has permission to speak as a member of a racial or ethnic group in literature. In fiction, anyone can do anything, of course, but there is a discussion over the limits of trying to write outside of one's own cultural group. When does it become caricature? American novelist Lionel Shriver has warned of such limits. Earlier this year, we brought together young writers Caitlin Greenidge and Bill Chang to talk about this issue. They consider themselves free, even required, to explore experiences that are not theirs. Bill Chang is the author of Southern Cross, The Dog, and Caitlin Greenidge is the author of We Love You, Charlie Freeman.
The whole point of fiction is to write and imagine parts of yourself or selves who are different from your own. And I think that's why I turn to reading books, is to explore consciousnesses that are not my own at all. So I think as just a baseline, yes, everybody can write anything. But I think the question of whether or not you can criticize a work if it's a writer who's writing an identity that's not their own and that writing is poorly done, either because of stereotypes or an inability to extend humanity to someone who's not like themselves. And I think that's certainly fair play to criticize and to point that out as why the writing is failing.
Bill?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sort of strange that any other element of a piece of fiction is open for criticism. And then when it comes to what fundamentally comes down to the believability or the sort of honesty of a character, suddenly, you know, certain authors will say, you know, I have a right to render this character this way. But if you're a practitioner of the craft, right, like you have this vested interest in getting it right, you have this vested interest in sort of doing the best that you can. So the defensiveness of it strikes me as odd.
Nevertheless, given that there's a lot of money that goes into fiction that perpetuates stereotypes, where does the line get drawn in those kinds of literary ventures?
I mean, those books are going to exist. There's a reason why that market exists, because there's imagination that doesn't necessarily want to extend humanity to people of color and so would rather read about them in those kind of outlandish ways. And the dismantling of that imagination is much bigger than anything that I think I could write or Bill could write. Like, we don't have those superpowers or like you could write. That's like decades worth of cultural work that needs to be done. So in the meantime, I mean, you know, there's that really great Toni Morrison quote that racism is just a distraction. And those books can exist, but that doesn't mean that I have to read them or engage with them. And then I think it's up to readers to decide if they're engaging with them or not. But the fact that somebody is going to write them, it's going to happen kind of either way.
Bill?
No, I agree. I agree completely. And I think with a certain kind of fiction, there is this sort of protectiveness over it. I don't know if you would agree with that, Caitlin, but you know, with something like sci-fi or fantasy or crime, that the practitioners or the readership of that feel very empowered by that kind of fiction.
What do you mean by protectiveness?
I mean, like, I think like the closer analog would be something like comic books, right? Like there is this sort of feeling of this world belongs to me. And when it is intruded upon, it feels like a violation to a certain.
So you think it's harder to criticize people who do graphic novels about ethnic communities than it is others, maybe?
No, I don't think so. I just think that the readership needs to and is slowly changing to sort of be more inclusive, that eventually everyone is going to catch up to the point where these sort of stock villains, these sort of stock images just aren't making for interesting reading anymore.
What about in a significant situation where a book changes the world, mm-hmm. and if you read it today, doesn't hold up, really represents an offensive stereotype, but if that book hadn't existed, we wouldn't really want to think about the history in that case. Uncle Tom's Cabin is a case of that. Mm-hmm. Talk about that one for a minute.
Well, I mean, I think that that's kind of the nature of art. Like, art changes, and, you know, it's really hard to make a piece of art that is going to read true in multiple contexts, kind of like across time. It's what you hope for as an artist or a writer, but it's nearly impossible to kind of get there. So when I see works like that, I judge it on that standard, which is that, you know, there are books that are made for their particular time, but don't necessarily translate to another time, or they do, but we have to kind of look at them in a different way. And I think in a case of something like Uncle Tom's Cabin, you're talking about a book that was published at a time when your whole readership would have been white. I mean, there, mm-hmm. there were laws to make sure that there wasn't a black readership. So that opens up a whole question of if you're writing today, the reality of the situation is that you are writing for a readership in the U.S. at least who is very diverse. Everybody has, most people have access to books and can read. And what does that mean as how your work is being read? I mean, like you asked earlier about those kind of genre novels, like a genre novel that would kind of traffic in stereotypes. And so it's always a question to me, like if you wouldn't feel comfortable reading what a character that you've written in front of the actual people who share that ethnicity of the character, and if you haven't done that, then I think you kind of know already if your character is failing in some kind of way. Like, I'm always really curious. Like,
have you had that experience as a writer?
If you came up with that. I've had that experience a little bit where I wrote a character who was supposed to be like this really kind of wealthy white heiress who's in her 80s and in the 1990s. So she's born in like 1910 or so. And she has like this very specific version of liberal Northeast upper class racism that likes to pretend that it isn't racism. And so when I wrote that character, I had all these kind of ideas about what that character should be. And I wrote this piece about it, but the piece, it just wasn't working.
And so it didn't ring true as an actual character.
And I had my agent is white, and my and some of my readers are white. So they read it and they said it's not ringing true. And you have to go back and think about why it isn't ringing true. And it is because the character was based on a bunch of ideas about a person and not actually a person.
So is it your experience that matters on the page, or is it your ability to create an imagined experience?
I don't think they're different. I actually don't think these two things are different. I think writing what you know and writing what you don't know is the exact same thing.
Really?
Because you can only write based on your experience. And even your imagined experience is still in some ways related to your own experience. That to me is what creates verisimilitude, right? The feeling of something being real is because it is real to the author.
Bill Cheng is the author of Southern Cross the Dog, and Caitlin Greenidge is the author of We Love You, Charlie Freeman.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.